Howdy. Welcome in. Welcome to the Bite Me Fishing Show. This hour, lots to cover on fishing after these storms. Plus, we'll talk fishing culture these days. And of course, what would Scott do? What would Caleb do? And what would Dean do? Which will be even more important to hear this week. Thanks to Master Hitch and the many ways they stay involved here. We've been talking about that. But let's talk about what you need. Trailer repair, fabrication, or maybe you have a design in your mind's eye about fabricating a trailer, any kind of trailer. Doesn't have to be a boat trailer, or adding something to your truck, maybe grill guards or any accessory you can imagine. Scott Pinkley and the fellas are going to absolutely take care of you. So, Dean, what about flats? Doesn't affect it as much, at least to my experience, but he mentioned Lighthouse Lakes. He mentioned all the rain. Scott's talking about anywhere up to 20 inches of rain. I mean, there's got to be some effect there or some strategy you have.
20 inches, absolutely. I mean, you're going to have an effect of it. But if we get 5 or 6, 8 or 9 so inches of rain, we don't have runoff. We have no rivers other than the Aransas River, which is way back in Copano, and Corpus Christi Bay, which is so low and so dry that even, I mean, it's not that big of a river. So we just don't get runoff from rivers. The only thing that falls on the flats is what falls on them. So you have, especially in this situation, we have a huge tropical tide pushing in. It actually dropped down to almost normal yesterday, but I just looked at it and it's way up again. But we have such a big flow, and because it only catches what falls on it, it's a very, very short-term effect mm-hmm. on the water. Like, not at all if you only get a couple inches of rain. And you get a couple inches up in that Colorado or the Trinity and those places, and it's just a whole different world. But yeah, the fact that we have no rivers, nothing is running into those bays.
You know, I'm listening to you, and I can see that turtle box over your left shoulder, and it reminded me, turtle box as well, big time, came through with a couple. I know we've got Waterloo rods, and Waterloo is coming through big time for the frenzy. I want to say at least a dozen, if not more, rods, right, Dean?
Yeah, we'll see what the final verdict is. Mm-hmm. I go in there and encourage him as much as possible. And Jimmy Burns, he's a very generous guy. He always steps up when it comes to great causes.
Yeah. And
I'm gonna bet you things get squirrely when they see Dean's truck pull in the parking lot. I bet people start hitting corners and I gotta go in the back and finish this.
There he is.
I'm going to lunch.
Everybody, that's the only time in the whole workday they look busy. Looking busy. Everybody look busy. But Caleb, you mentioned Bates is going to come through. We'll get that. You mentioned Grundy yep. might come through. We'll get that. So I do want to mention those as we go along. But here's my question for you, Caleb. And I know Scott has had thoughts on this, so feel free to weigh in, Scott. But once we get settled, and presuming we do, get settled with the freshwater, a lot of times, and we've talked about this, there's really, really fresh, dirty water on top. But in some areas, especially near kind of that line or whatever, underneath is salty water. You know, what? How do you know that? What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, takes quite the series of circumstances for that to completely play out to fruition and to where it's actually beneficial. I think if fresh water hits it too fast, too hard, it just mixes all up. Maybe if it comes in smoother or slower, it'll stay on top. But mm-hmm. I went and checked it the other day when I was fishing in Matagorda, and because we have East Matagorda has 3 runoffs. It has Boggy Creek, Peyton's Creek coming through Lake Austin, and Caney Creek. And what I did was I go get in 2 or 3 feet of water and then just put the motor in gear, and if it starts pushing up green water behind me, mm-hmm. then yeah, and that can be pretty good. I mean, that fresh water is bringing in little fin fish, and the bay fish like that stuff, but it doesn't happen overly often. In fact, this last set of flooding we had down there, there wasn't even really a definitive salt to fresh line. It was brown, and then as you got towards the west end, it got, you know, lighter and lighter brown and more green. So there was absolutely nothing definitive about the last ones. And I don't know exactly the circumstances it takes to get it to a stack like that, but this heavy, fast rain we're getting right now didn't do it.
Yeah, and Scott, you and I have talked exactly about what Caleb just mentioned. So your thoughts on that, and then here's the other thing before we move on to a topic that we need to get to. It's been on there for a month. And that is, if you had to upper coast, I'm guessing, to middle coast more than anything. If you had to say, all right, hadn't rained in a couple of days, I'm going out, what places come to mind for you?
West Galveston Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes East Bay. You know, Trinity gets blown out from the Trinity and the San Jacinto coming down. If that upper end gets blown out, a lot of those fish will move around into East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And East Bay's only got the one little bayou that runs into it from the refuge down there at the far end. So it doesn't tend to get as much runoff. But West Bay, there's really no runoff into West Bay as long as you're not down towards the Chocolate Bayou in the west end. I'd spend all my time in West Bay anytime it flooded.
I remember going, having some good days around Smith Point for that exact reason that you talked about, kind of around toward East Bay. It's kind of protected. I don't know, the water doesn't flow the right way. Smith Point would be one, if y'all want to take my opinion on this, that I'd look at on some of these, but depending on how much, you know, depending on how much runoff you get. And go ahead, Scott. Look like
it was one year that we had a flood coming down the Trinity. It was a Dallas flood. Mm-hmm. And when it hit down this way, and they released all the water out of Livingston, and it was pushing down that shoreline, the Trinity shoreline in off Smith Point. And we just stayed ahead of it, like you were talking about for Sabine. And, man, we had 4 or 5 days of just killer trout action. Just staying right at the front end of it, you could tell exactly where it was. Wasn't any problem at all to find.
I enjoy it. You don't enjoy it while it's happening, but I enjoy hunting it, finding that line. They'd had the NOAA app has all the salinity levels like to it, as close as you can get, and it works. Caleb Perry brought up a question that I was going to put a bow on this whole conversation with, for you guys, and feel free to weigh in. But Caleb, I want to ask you. Just in general, a very, very wet spring, we're still technically in spring, is that a better altogether fishing year or worse, or does it matter?
That depends on who you're talking to. Pat and the trout guys really like wet years. They said the trout do really great. Me, myself, I really like dry years. It sets up all the fishing that I do a heck of a lot better. When it's salty and green, my backwaters work better, my rivers work better, all that kind of stuff. But as far as like going and drifting for trout and wading for trout and fishing in the bay, it seems to really help it. But the drier stuff is what a redfish guy in the back wants.
Yeah. You know, Dean, what I was thinking about with all this rain and lots of rain is everything's going to green up real nice. And maybe that'll lead to something on those flats that you and I like to fish on. On the other hand, I kept thinking, boy, there's going to be a lot of grass floating. There's going to be a lot of grass floating this year. What are your thoughts on that?
There's definitely going to be a lot of grass, and especially when the tide comes up the way it is all the grasses have been blowing against shorelines and kind of settled in, gets floated. Then you get these stormy days with wind blowing from every different direction. This storms, they create their own wind. So we might blow north for a while, then come back to the south. So it'll float the grass and then blow it all over the flats. It does be quite challenging.
Yeah. Scott Port O'Connor, better or worse on a wet year? Or does it matter?
It doesn't really seem to matter a whole lot around here. Mm-hmm. We just don't have any runoff. If the hill country gets huge rains like they just got, and it comes down the Guad, then San Antonio Bay gets washed out, and that'll usually turn and come down the intercoastal, and the intercoastal will freshen up. There's been years where, like down there at Charlie's, they couldn't pump the water out of the intercoastal for the bait tanks because it was so fresh. But it doesn't really seem to affect Espiritu and all that and all the lakes over on the island. The only time I've ever seen the lakes on the island get bad was after Harvey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just, you know, once in a lifetime, hopefully, kind of thing. The lakes on the backside there, Contee, Fifth, and all those, they were perfectly fresh. Absolute, totally fresh water, top to bottom, and they looked like swamp water. They had that tannin stain real orangey, rusty looking. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any fish in there. I messed around on that, but I found, you know, the salt water was out on the outside edge, and so I just stayed out there. But the lakes during that period, they were shut down for a good while. But typically, it doesn't really seem to matter much.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next topic. But as I said at the start, I'm going to be interjecting some of these things that I really hope our thousands of listeners understand how much we appreciate the people that are helping us put this on. I do want to mention Laguna Rods. Randy's come in and said he wants to do it. Heavy metal gun safes. This is going to be a good one, man. I can't decide whether we should put that. I'm thinking maybe live auction because it's very specific. But a custom gun safe, including delivery and setup, plus pistol safes and accessories. That's heavy metal gun safes. I mentioned Laguna Rods. JCB Boss, a skid steer for a weekend. That's going to be up for grabs. You may have to bid against Scott on this one. A 4x6 Big Dog deer blinds. Big Dog deer blinds coming through with a pullable 3-foot skid. That's going to be a part of it. A power pole, complete power system. You know, Wade Wright. And by the way, Wade Wright, 10% of all their sales between now and the feeding frenzy are going to go to Heroes on the Water and Texas Boys Outdoor, and they're going to have a bunch of packages. Shootout, how could I forget? The Shootout's going to have some stuff for us as well. And our guy, John, not just the taco trays, but we're going to have some soft plastic storage boxes that, frankly, John, I know you're listening. I got to get my hands on one of those because they look pretty dang sweet. We'll give some more as we move along here.
Oh, Sawgrass as well.
Oh, Sawgrass as well. Sawgrass is going to be delivering. We'll keep that up. Just take care of the people that take care of us. All right. Let's talk sargassum. It's been abundant. What does it mean, and how can you take advantage? Next, right here on Sports Radio 610. Even though I know you all three have thoughts on this, so it's going to be a big sargassum year. Scott, a lot of people think it's a big hassle. It's going to mess up some beaches. We've been meaning to get to this topic. I haven't seen. I know you haven't been out much because of the rain, but what is it looking like now? And I think a lot of people have a misconception that that's a hassle. It's actually a very, very good thing. Go ahead.
It brings in all kind of cool fish. Mm-hmm. And all the bait. Pick up a thing of that sargassum weed out there and shake it on your boat and just see what all falls out of it. It's pretty cool. It's its own little...
It's an ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, it's its own ecosystem. And if we got to talk about it, my oldest daughter, who you all know, Randy, she used to love to go out to the jetties and pick that stuff up, and she called it sarcasm weed.
Sarcasm weed.
That's the most sarcastic weed you've ever seen. Oh. But the only time it really bothers me is if I'm out there trying to troll. You know, if it sets up right, you know, you get some good currents and get light winds, then it all balls up and it gets in the long lines. And you can troll down the side of it, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you get a little rough water, like what we're getting today, it breaks those lines up, and then you've just got little wads of it floating everywhere. That's mm-hmm. That's a pain in the butt. Yeah, clear your lines constantly. Mm-hmm. Or what goes on the beach, that's what makes sand dunes. I know people bitch about it. It stinks, you know, all that stuff. But that's what helps hold the sand for sand dunes. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. So, Dean, I'm going to ask you this very selfishly, because we like when the summer hits and the blue water is in, we like to get out, several miles off the jetties and troll for kingfish and such. But I started thinking, like, maybe dolphin. Now, how close in do they get, and what does the sargassum do in terms of some of those fish maybe getting a little closer?
On rare occasions, it does happen within 8 miles or so. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you really have the blue water and a lot of seaweed, not the most common thing, but on mm-hmm. rare occasions, we do get reports of people coming across a mahi very close. That's always late heat, ultra heat of summer. Late July, August is when you're going to hear about that happening.
What else does it do?
Well, it brings a lot of bait fish. It's a pain in the ass, though, man. If you want to go out there and try to troll for any amount of time, I mean, it can almost be a showstopper for trolling, but I mean, it brings life, builds up sand. I was actually just sitting here, I was looking at the live webcams, just kind of curious, because we've had tides so high, the tides have come up to the dunes. And so a lot of that seaweed that was piled up there that the beachgoers were complaining about, looks like it's gone, man. I mean, the beaches are clean right now.
Mm-hmm.
This big storm, I mean, it's fixing to pull off the shoreline here, go who knows where in the middle of the Gulf. And yes, a tropical storm, it's going to stir the Gulf pretty hardcore.
I love weed lines. I get excited about them. You know, if it washes up on the beach, it washes up on the beach. But when they do clump up, I mean, aside from dolphin, you can get lean going on triple tail for days.
We didn't even talk about that. Yeah.
We went several years without having like any notable amount of weed lines coming in to where you could go get them in a bay boat without being that guy that ran your bay boat way out in the middle of the Gulf. I get pumped up about it, and like Scott said, it brings in all the little bitty stuff, and the bigger stuff comes in. I couldn't be more excited that it's here if it just would quit raining.
All right, we're gonna get a little lively here. I'm gonna skip over one topic because I think this one will be really fun to talk about. But again, trying to keep everything rolling here in terms of what to expect, what you can bid on, what you can win. Orion Coolers, they're in with a 35 quart, a 45 quart, and an 85 quart, thanks to the Jackson Foundation. I mentioned Waterloo Sawgrass, I mentioned that, Frog and Toad, landscaping cooler full of fishing gear and goodies. That's going to be very, very sought after. Multiple, and by the way, bring your kids, multiple kids, Zebco rod and reel packages, courtesy of Zebco and Texas Boys Outdoors. My grandkids are going to be there. You should bring your kids. 6-volt and 12-volt Noco Genius 10 battery charger and the Noco Boost HD jump starter with a storage case from El Campo Repair Service. I think Dean picked that up today, and Doug Scow. He did a great job getting that. Multiple Lose Reels from Texas Boys Outdoors and Lose. Galveston Bay fishing trip, Captain Trenton Johnson, get tight fishing charters. And of course, the Bite Me Captains are going to donate trips. I don't know if I've told them that, but I just did. And Knock and Tail is going to come in. Oh, and Nomad. It's a good way to mention this, because in the radio business, we call this a great get. It took me about a month of trying, but I sat down with Damon Olson, the founder and engineer from Nomad Lures, about everything they're doing in the plastics game. And I ended up talking to him for about 45 minutes. It was fascinating stuff. So that's going to be on the show here in the near future. Did I mention DOA? DOA, our guy Mark Nichols, who you hear on this show all the time. DOA is going to come in with all kinds of gear as well. So I just have to reiterate, because this thing doesn't go the way it does as smoothly as it does, knock on wood, without them. All right, so I'm going to get to the other topic here in a minute, but I want to get to this one. I want to get the boys riled up a little bit. So of course that means I get to start with Dean, who may or may not have been called abrasive at one point, unfairly. I will note. What would you change?
completely fair assumption.
What would you change about today's fishing culture? And this came up, Scott and Dean brought up the bygone era when we were talking about things and maybe going back to the time, and they both said, yeah, we would, casual trips, waiting, not as many boats. Is there anything else? Because I thought about this, and when I was a kid into my early 20s and 30s, am I wrong here, Dean? Did fishing not used to be as competitive as it is now?
Oh, of course.
It seems like everything's a competition.
And so what was the exact question again?
What would you change about today's fishing culture?
Oh, I would eliminate.
While Dean's thinking, pick me.
Go.
We'll get back to me first because it's too easy.
I would make it you are completely exempt from all Class A charges for punching somebody in the mouth if you can prove they needed it.
They deserved it?
If they deserved it. I'll take that back. Mine would be the second choice, which is I could live without the social media tables full of look what I did today, dead fish pictures.
Yeah, Reno just texted that.
I mean, it is kind of almost become the holy grail of I'm the man, if that's what you can do. And that's, it completely loses the spirit of what we do out here when that's the best you can show at the end of your day.
Yeah, so instead of putting that picture on Facebook, they can use it for their profile on Grindr.
I don't know about that. So, Scott, I talked about, I use the word culture deliberately because...
Hey, those might be outdoor.
Because I remember being really, really happy when other people caught fish. Maybe I was just silly, you know? I remember being really happy just with being able to hear the stories and not have to have a boat competition and a running competition and a speed competition and a this competition. Culture, Scott?
Saw it in the kayak world, you know, with the kayak competitions. And there was just a long thread about it the other day. In the beginning of the kayak thing, we were all buds. Everybody hung out together. We all fished together. We went around by shared information. The tournaments kind of came along and they were fun. It was throw $20 in a pot and meet down on the beach for the weigh-in and have a good time. And then it started getting bigger money and more competition, and everything started getting to be secretive. Then you couldn't go fish with so-and-so because he was on a different team or had a different running group. And everybody in his group would get mad because he took you fishing in his spot and all of that kind of stuff. If we could do away with all of that, and it's the same thing, the competition, the social media about it, all of the look at me stuff that goes on, I could do with a whole lot less of that.
And the social
media. When you were younger, wasn't $20 like a big paying tournament? That's like
put in it. You got to make up for inflation. You got to count for inflation.
I mean, the kayak probably costs a nickel.
Well, people weren't paying all them high Wi-Fi fees back then. So
we were carving them out of cypress trees. So it just cost you a little bit of money for gas on your chainsaw.
They were really heavy kayaks.
And the social media has changed of the representation of what's out there. There's still places, they're few and far between, that kind of just represent the spirit of being out there and the adventure you get being outdoors. You know, it's more about that, but just to a lot of the other aspects, marketing aspect, competition, over meat hall pictures, just it didn't used to exist. And there's a big outlet for it. I mean, there is an outlet on every time you flip the page, of kind of the way that world has changed.
Here's another thing. Let me ask you guys this, because maybe, again, I'm just being silly and I'm kind of a romantic when it comes to fishing. But a lot of times, Scott, when I zilched or had a bad day or whatever, I legitimately had fun out there. People say it all the time. I'm sure they've said it on your boat if you had a bad day or something. They're like, well, it was fun. It was just nice being out there. And you can kind of see that they're kind of up. I legit... just being out there was fun.
Yeah. And that's what it's supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not supposed to be a competition all the time. And that's just what it's turned into. I mean, the tournament world, and that's bled over into the social media world of, you know, that's why you have these guys limits by 7,
yeah,
and limits by 8, and beating on their chest about how quickly they caught 3 dink trout.
Mm-hmm.
To call it a limit. I don't know. I could do with a whole lot less of that.
Mm-hmm.
Give you an idea. I mean, we went down to Mansfield one of the first times me and a buddy were down there. We're wading and we're into a good school of reds, and we're right along the edge of the intercoastal there. And this boat's coming down the intercoastal. My buddy's like, put your rod down, put your rod down. You know, both hooked up. He said, put your rod down. Don't show them you've been up.
Oh, yeah.
And the boat stopped right next to us, you know, in the ditch, but stopped. And my buddy's like, oh, damn. And the guy just sat there and watched us catch fish. Yeah. And then he waved at us and gave us a thumbs up and took off.
Where's that guy gone? We need that guy back.
Yeah. I mean, that was a whole lot more what it was. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't nose in on somebody that was already catching fish. You tried to be polite, and politeness has gone out the damn window. I can tell you that. There ain't a whole lot of polite out there anymore.
Yeah. So Caleb, you have a smirk on your face.
Dude, I haven't heard anything y'all have said for 5 minutes, but there's some cool things that happen on this show, and part of them is text I received during the show from various listeners. Mm-hmm. And my man Reno has come through here. There is an Instagram account we should all go follow.
Oh God!
And it's called Coastal Downs, and this dude he's all the stuff that we look at on social media and think some little intrusive thought. This dude made an account out of it and included the intrusive thought, and it's fabulous. So I don't know who you are, Coastal Downs, but you're welcome for the shout out on top three podcasts.
Maybe that ties in stuff. In a weird way, what Caleb just did. Maybe that ties in with, boy, has the culture ever changed. Now we're just making fun of people. Oh my goodness. That's not good.
It's all one word, if you are wondering. Coastal Downs.
I hope you're proud of yourself, Caleb. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Yeah. Something, well, you saw that I posted the fellow that, just got Grant Mulholland, mm-hmm. one of our longtime listeners. He's from Flatonia area, friends with my aunt and uncle out there. And he got really bad infections this past fall and lost both arms, both legs.
Mm. And he's just this, just this past fall?
Yeah.
Man, he got good. He got good quick.
He's determined. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching
his videos. Tell the story for those who don't know. So what
I
happened?
Really don't know him. You know, mm-hmm. friends of my aunt and uncle. And he apparently got sepsis real bad and looked like both arms at the elbows and both legs at the knees. So he's got prosthetics. And the first video I saw of him was him sitting on the back porch. I shared it, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to cast with his spinning rod, sitting in a chair, just trying mm-hmm. to cast. So that's an eye opener right there. Mm-hmm. We like fishing. We love fishing. We all do it all the time. Get it taken away from you mm-hmm. and see what it does. And see if you know, that'll tell you how much you love it. He's mm-hmm. he must love it a lot because he is working his butt off getting it right and figuring it out. And he caught his first redfish the other day.
Man. And it just happened. It usually takes years to really get good at that, you know?
Yeah, I've been looking back at some of his videos, and it's incredible the journey he's been on. Mm-hmm. And it makes you stop and think, what would I do in that situation?
Oh, my power pole's not working. Oh, poor me.
Yeah, I got a backlash.
My third power pole isn't working. I can't.
Yeah, that's right. Oh no, I had to use other people's line. You know, whatever it might be. And then there's Caleb weighing in from the balcony, like the Muppets, grumpy old men. Let's laugh at some people.
Man, my day was kind of sucked when this show started, but I'm really breaking out of it.
I could tell. All right, let's do this real quick because this is another one that I need to get off of the old rundown, and it's a good time to mention the CCA Texas Star Tournament because I just got another email with the leaderboard. They're getting caught, man. The Tags of Texas division, there's two that have been confirmed, I believe, and two pending poly. The Texas Ford Dealers Red Tag Division, which is the boat and the truck and the trailer. There's three that have been caught, including one that has been confirmed. The other two are pending poly. And so when we showed, it's on our YouTube channel, when we showed to, somebody said Caleb's close to making that page.
This he's close clip. To making it on that page.
Yeah. So when we, you know, obviously broadcast the live redfish release, the tagged redfish release, I thought of this because it seems almost impossible, but I said, I bet you the captains are going to have some fun with this. So let's say, Caleb, I'm trying to distract you from that website. You saw, well, you did see, you know, where the tagged redfish were released. And let's say you knew exactly where that was. Is there any chance that you could formulate some kind of thought strategy? Like if you knew where a tagged redfish released, do you think you'd have a better chance of catching it than other people? In fact, let's get that answer to that, and let's get it from all the captains next. Plus, what would Dean do? What would Scott do? What would Caleb do right here on Sports Radio 610?
Okay, first, let's hit this topic real quick. If somebody's going to make a YouTube video or YouTube channel where they're just going through Facebook with a mask on and a voice changer and just roasting everybody, including their friends, I'm not saying I have time to do it, but invite me on it. But back to the topic. Yeah, dude, you know, we ran a couple of trips doing just that. I knew
oh, really?
Where some were I knew where some were released at. It was a lot of pretty clean backwater, and it's been a total of probably about 24 hours trolling, just looking. I had Coleman Todd on Angler U last week, and one of the fish had traveled like 12 miles in a day to get caught. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we know of plenty of others that had caught within 500 yards where they were released at.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, you know, find somebody that's got an open boat and a bunch of cut mullet and spread out, boys.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Yeah. I mean, if I knew, you know, if it was a couple of days or so after that, you know, after that release, and you were bound and determined, go to that spot, put out as many rods as I got rod holders and soak some cut mullet on the bottom and just start hauling in redfish and checking every one of them.
That would be if you do that every morning and every evening, you can make a pretty good living.
You could. yeah. You did a double trip. So Dean, I was very scientific.
$200 a pop. Man, you know, you really, the fish do not know who's on the other end of the line. So you have no better chance than the guy who is sitting next to you, unless you are going with a tactic that's maybe going to put a few more fish in the boat. And yes, the more rods in the water, the more chance you got. As much time there, many baits in the water, some stank bait. But, you know, what are the chances that the fish is still there? I mean, there's a lot of variables in that. Go put a line in the water, just like you do every other day. Say your Hail Marys. Hope you've been living good. And because it's, I mean, it's just a hope and a prayer to catch that fish. I mean, there's no logical way.
The biggest thing is, tagged fish. I found one and chased him around for hours.
Seriously,
finding the sucker is like 90% of not the problem, because this thing didn't want nothing to do with anything we had to flip at it. Now, for full clarity, it was a Louisiana tag. We were over there, but I wanted to catch it and read the tag, and I may have called some Louisiana buddies and said, he's right here in this pond. But follow that dude around for hours, and it was like Tom and Jerry, bro.
So I'm quite sure that Dean and Caleb and Scott have all read The Art of War. That classic book, right? All of y'all read that, right?
Chen Zhu, one of my favorite publicators.
There you go. So in The Art of War, I was getting too far into this in my own mind. I would create a front, like a half moon front, all waiters. Start at where you think it was going and just keep waiting out in an arc and waiting out. And have that line until you couldn't wait anymore, and then go from there. I mean,
how many people are you having in this theoretical arc?
As many as it takes. Create the arc. It's the art of war, man. It is essentially, be prepared.
You had like 300 Spartans
wearing the funny helmet.
And if this front of waiters had seines in between them.
Yes. They say John's strategy is not to fish for this thing. It is to make a seine out of 80-pound braid.
Well, hey, man. The number one thing, folks out there, sign up.
Yes.
I just heard that the number has gone to 10.
Oh, really?
Who have caught tagged reds that were not signed up. And that's just the ones that were reported. So yeah, you know, there's probably another 10 that were caught that they didn't report.
Yeah.
You know, I stood at the San Bernard CCA thing, and I may have been slightly fuzzy and wasn't paying attention to what Coleman was saying, but Coleman explained this to no less than 100 people while I was standing beside him. However, it still took me by surprise when he brought it up last weekend that even if you join the Star and you don't fish not one time, you're still in a drawing for like a truck and a boat. And
yeah,
there's all kinds of stuff you can win without even catching the fish that you're just in a raffle for.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. That's why I always do the early bird, because you get another shot with the early bird registration. But I guess we should mention that. StarTournament.org if you haven't registered yet. StarTournament.org. Caleb is sending me pictures. And
it's a funny one.
It's just, here we are. Part of the show today was about the culture of fishing today. And Caleb's like, here.
This man's holding this little bitty redfish, and it says, look at this undersized redfish. I'll have an open boat tomorrow. Hella days available.
Oh, boy.
He's straight out long-arming that thing, and it still looks little.
It does. It's a tiny redfish.
Hey, you know what, though? It's alive. What? Dude, we're such hypocrites. There's no
way. Yeah, we.
This guy just taking a respectable picture, probably. I mean, I hope he turned that fish loose. and we're like, still not good enough for us.
Oh, boy. Well, we do something called what would Scott do, what would Caleb do, and what would Dean do every week. We do that, don't we? Boy, any chance this thing gets workable, Scott? Any chance this thing starts to feel a little better?
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Once it gets on past, they're saying is once it gets in the Gulf and there's a front that's keeping it kind of held up right now. The front's kind of just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And if it gets on that front and starts riding, it's going to pick up speed. It's not going to be moving 6 miles an hour all the way across. Mm-hmm. But it's going to skim the entire coast from what they're saying. Yeah. And it's going to emerge back in the Gulf around Corpus, somewhere down there, get just a little offshore, and then roll up the coast. But that once that gets going, it should be clearing out of here.
Down here, I mean, tomorrow, I mean, it is gone. We got a low pressure, which is amazing, according to Caleb. Going to have some overcast. Water temperatures cooled down. So, I mean, all that being said, we got great conditions to get out and go fishing. How they respond immediately, yet to be determined. But for us and South, it's a done deal.
I just glanced at Sunday 20, gusting to 25.
Around That's here. What I was talking about right there.
It'll be sunny, but mm-hmm. it's going to be.
It'll dry stuff out.
Yeah, it should dry things up pretty good. But,
and it's going to, the wind is going to blow around in a circle. I mean, if you guys are looking at the radar and the circulation right now, this thing is well more defined than they're giving it credit for. So as the center of it passes us, we're going to have a north wind, we're going to have a west wind, and all of that before it comes back around to the south. So it might be Thursday or Friday, probably Friday, before we really settle into normal weather again.
I remember very distinctly, and I forget the name of the hurricane, one of the best fishing days I've ever had for trout was right there in East Matagorda Bay, right there on the oyster farm after the hurricane, and the tides came up and so much stuff just happened to be blown right to that oyster farm. And it was probably 40, 50, I'm not exaggerating, 25-inch plus trout. I mean, just swimming through your legs and everything else. So it can be done. It can be done. Just depends on what happens. Just keep a gauge on everything. So you fellas have anything?
I just looked at the update. It's 29 mile an hour, gusting to 40. And I've been watching the pressure. Pressure's been dropping. It's down to 1,005.
Mm-hmm.
So it's building. It's getting stronger because it was It was 20-25 earlier.
I just got a picture of the Colorado River, and it looks like trash to answer that question.
All right. So, Dean, anything? You're feeling a little better than the other guys and me about the rest of the week. I mean, the weekend.
I'm soon as we hang up the phone here, I'm headed to the boat. I'm going fishing.
All right.
Dumbest things we've ever heard.
that's how we started this whole conversation.
Started it there. What a great place to wrap it up.
Yep, and book these fellas. They're going to be donating trips as well to the Feeding Frenzy, but don't count on that necessarily, or bring your money and count on it. And just hit them up social media. They're fantastic fellas. They're great fishermen, and you know their knowledge. So, you guys appreciate it. Appreciate you joining us here. Have a great rest of the week, rest of the weekend. Catch them up. We'll talk to you next time.